morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes. I am very privileged to have with me today and a very, very, very busy guy. He is our superintendent of schools, Superintendent Joe Curtis. Good morning, Mr. Curtis.
Good morning. Good morning. I certainly appreciate your time, too. I know you can be busy as well. So I appreciate the time and we'll enjoy the discussion we'll have today.
First and foremost, I just want to let everybody know, this is, almost sounds crazy, but the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. I don't know if this still pertains. They don't in no way represent the feelings of the school department, school committee, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city hall, and or the construction workers dead center in the middle of North Street. But they're doing a great job. I would like to just make one comment, if I may. I have heard complaining about the streets and this and that forever. This mayor has taken over and has a plan. I know, sounds crazy. He has a real plan, and he's trying to do it. One of the things that I 100% support him on is that if we need new gas lines or water lines or sewer lines, we put those in before we do the street over and then dig it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like logical thinking gone to logical thinking. But please, I give the mayor a break. I mean, he's trying to do the right thing is all I'm saying. All right, Mr. Curtis, how I want to say something to you too, and your colleagues, all of your colleagues. Thank you for the effort and work to educate Pittsfield's children. Every one of you do every day.
No, I really appreciate that. And, you know, as you've heard on national media, local media, media across the state of Massachusetts, the work becomes more complex and challenging each and every day. And really is in no comparison to when I became a teacher at Conte Community School in 1994. Ironically, at that time, we all believed that the work was challenging, and that's what attracted us to be in this field. But in comparison now, and looking over the past 30 years, our work has changed dramatically in every way.
I can't agree more. And I'd like to just. It's not your grandfather's school anymore. It's not your school anymore. It's not your dad's school anymore or your mom's. And just an aside, a lot of people, I worked with violent youthful offenders. And I can tell you one of the glaring star-studded things was there, all of them, just about 95% of them had IEPs. And so we'll get into this a little bit more into the show. It is, in my opinion, and this is my opinion. This isn't Mr. Curtis's opinion or anybody else. It is the school department's job to educate with the finest teachers and curriculum and everything. That's their job. It's the parents' job to get the kids to school prepared to learn. Excuse me. Prepared to learn, respectful, taught respect, and ensure they're there. I just read an article again on attendance nationally is abysmal.
Yeah. And you hear that, you know, even, you know, in our news partners over in New York, and you hear it nationally that for a number of reasons, attendance in school has become in some circles optional. And, you know, I remember clearly when my mom was raising me and my dad was when he was still alive, attendance was never optional in any way. I remember, you know, I would have to literally be visually sick. And then there was still a lot of speculation in my household in order to stay home. And, you know, now for a number of reasons, it's just not that way anymore. And, you know, the state of Massachusetts, the education, the commissioner of education, really provided some stark statistics on how much of an impact,
Yeah.
to no surprise, students that are chronically absent has on their education and many other things as well.
Well, and to me, like you, if you didn't have a temperature or you weren't coughing up a right or left lung, or leaving yet last 2 days' meals in the commode, you went to school. But you also went to school, and I have to say this about the Pittsfield school system and the cafeteria workers and the bus driver. At the old Taconic, when I used to be there in the mornings in the cubbyhole there, we call it a studio, I would watch kids, especially on Mondays, run in to that breakfast. And so, I mean, there's a lot of other facets. I don't want to take your time, Joe, but I just get so darn frustrated. Well, we got to fix this school, and it's the school department's job. No, it's the community's job. Not just the school. The school department has a big responsibility, but they can't fulfill that if we can't get the kids there with a mindset to learn. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
it's without question, it's a community effort, right? There's no, you know, I did retail for a number of years, and when sales were down, you either discontinued that product or put it on clearance or purchase something else to put in its
Right.
place. And, you know, we're dealing with well over 5,000 humans, each with quite a bit that they're undertaking. And, you know, we have to work with them in very respectful, caring ways to improve the overall school setting. But there is no, you know, when I was a teacher, when I was a principal, a dean of students, there is no switch, if you will, that can be flipped to solve all issues. There's no policy that can be enacted in quick fashion that fixes concerns. It's through a lot of, unfortunately, slow, sustainable work to
Yeah.
affect change. And you know, because we're working with our students, our children, we want fast change. I do too. But there's no way to do that in a sustainable way when we're working with the number of humans, and that's
Right.
it's important to always remember that in our city.
Yeah, and I think we have to understand too that it's not the old days. You know, when I went home, my mother was a nurse, but my mother worked 11 to 7 at night, slept when I was in school, and made sure we did our homework when we came home at the dining room table. I mean,
Absolutely.
yeah. And my father was the same. He was a firefighter. He worked different shifts, but we always had. It's not that way today. People, some families have to work. The mom and dad have to work two and three jobs just to make it. And I,
And
yeah.
the schedules that families encounter, you know, I was a single dad of three boys. They're all older now, but the amount of maneuvering we had to do each and every day to make sure they were in school and that their homework was done, it's incredibly complex. And I'm not minimizing that fact,
But
but
we can't.
nevertheless, you know, we held that school was incredibly important to their success. And we held that each and every day.
Right. And you know, I hear the I guess this is a personal thing. We went through COVID. There was some grant, federal grant money. It had a time limit on it. A lot of federal grant money had. I'm very familiar with federal grant money. Has time limits on it, but they can be extended. They can be, and to pull that money when we haven't fully recovered, and when I say we, I mean the nation, in my opinion, has not fully recovered from COVID. We're seeing it on a question five with tipping waitresses and or waiters and bartenders and all. But the underlying thing is these restaurants, I haven't fully recovered from COVID.
Yeah, I was just talking to a restaurant owner in Pittsfield, and they were saying that very clearly, that they have not, a very popular establishment, but have not seen the customer base that they did
That's right.
pre-pandemic.
Yeah, and so I mean, am I angry at the federal government? Yes, they didn't need to pull that money. They believe me, they could have easily let Pittsfield keep that money to keep those people in place to make this transition for some kids, first time they came to school, a building school.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the Mercer administration building. I think I've told you, Bill, that my dad actually went to school in this building for a couple of years, and my aunt, who's still alive, did as well. And I asked her, who do you remember who was in the building at that time? And she tells the story that it was the classroom teacher. And they had, over 30 students in each class. And there was one principal who had a very small office on the second floor here. That was it. They went home for lunch. They walked home.
Walk back.
They lived over on John Street. They walked home for lunch. And that was it. And so, to compare, schooling in the early 50s and what it took to now, there's just no comparison. We need to have many more support services for our kids that struggle. And, we're discussing as we speak our middle school programming for next school year, and a number of parents on the committee that will ultimately make a recommendation, and they feel very strongly, and I'm going to say rightfully so, that we also have programming that enriches and challenges students that are ready to do so. So, that will take a financial investment, a reshuffling of some resources that we currently have. But so, the spectrum of student need that we need to meet now is dramatically different than when my dad and aunt went to school here.
Well, even I'm probably your dad's age, or would have been your dad, or at least your aunt's age, when I went to from Catholic school to North Junior High School. It was a different ball game entirely. And I can remember one, I won't mention the student's name because I don't know if he's still even around, but he disrespected a female teacher, in her opinion. And she sent him down to talk to Coach Kowalski. You never wanted to get sent down to talk Coach Kowalski. And if you did, you only did it once. But the other piece, Joe, that I found, and I don't know if it's, but I want to say it because I think it's when I was responsible for the operation of the Violent Youthful Offender, one of the real pushbacks from the I hated to call them inmates, but they were inmates. I call them kids. From the kids was structure. They rebelled against any kind of structure. And I don't know if you find that in the schools, but it was one of the toughest, for my staff, it was one of the hardest things because they tied discipline to structure. And I don't.
There's nothing more important. We've had this conversation before. When I was the principal at Morningside, it was incredibly important to install structure and consistency in our students' lives. And some students that experience that at home, it's expected. It's expected by parents, it's expected by families. For those students who don't experience that at home, it can be incredibly difficult. And we are charged with persevering no matter what to ensure a safe learning environment in our schools. And again, that as you've heard nationally, becomes more challenging
Every day.
each and every day because of so much that our students see on social media, in the national news. Unfortunately, in some political circles, that we've seen poor behavior modeled
Yes.
for our young students. And so that what we would have seen as outrageous behavior, not too long ago, it's you see it every day, right? You see it on social media, you see it on the national news. And that has a dire impact in our schools, because there's no way to ensure that that just never enters our doors. Students bring those experiences and what they see into our doors every day. And when we're charged with supporting them to meet expectations, those high expectations, so they can have a robust either post-secondary educational experience or career. And we see that employers, again, across the nation, are having difficulty with their workforce. Even locally, we've all gone to local restaurants and seen that the dining rooms closed because they don't have enough
Staff.
employees to staff, or they've called in sick. So this is not unique to a school system or our school system. Nevertheless, we must respond to ensure that our students get the education they deserve.
And I think if I reach out to the listening and viewing audience, understanding is a word. Understand that you have an excellent school system. You really do. Is it perfect? No, nothing is perfect. I've been all over the world. Nothing is perfect. But it's a very good system with very dedicated, committed teachers. I've lived with one now for 54 years.
Yes.
And at night, in the phone calls and talking with the parents, and she is an example, a shining example, but so are all the other teachers. Believe me, no one stays in this game today because it's without its challenges.
And it's important to point out, that Williams Elementary School, to speak to your point, has received a National Blue Ribbon Award for academic excellence.
Yes.
And I think that, we need to celebrate that. This
Yes.
is one of our elementary schools in the city of Pittsfield with an incredibly dedicated staff, family base that really worked hard to earn this. It is not in any ways an award that's handed out to many. And it's really a credit to the Williams community, to the city of Pittsfield. And we need to continue to celebrate that, as they are and have been identified by the state of Massachusetts and the Department of Education in our nation
Yeah.
as an exemplary high-performing school.
And again, I would be remiss if I didn't shout out to Mr. Dr. Bishop and Deputy Superintendent Gage, whose title's just too long. I'm too old to even remember what it is. If she had got business cards, you'd have to get somebody to carry them around for her.
Yeah.
But what they have done with all of the teachers at Taconic in the trades is phenomenal, and that does not get enough press, in my opinion. You just said it, Mr. Curtis. People are graduating and going into wonderful jobs. George Haddad, that Toyota thing, and others, the armored car people. People just are working with these kiddos, and all of a sudden, they don't have a $100,000 loan. They're making $80,000.
Yeah,
It's amazing.
you know how strongly I feel, and Pittsfield High School is working as we speak to develop career paths.
Yes.
engineering being one of them. And so, our goal is certainly to ensure that we have two high schools that present a number of choices to our students in career paths.
Yeah.
And so, not only is Taconic, we have currently 15 programs at Taconic,
Wow.
and we're developing a number of career paths at Pittsfield High School. These are robust opportunities that really give students a sense of purpose in high school, of what they'd like to do post high school. And when I was in high school, it was always said to me, "You must go to college."
Right.
Both sides of my family, I'm the only member of both sides of my family that ever went to college. So I was that first generation. But now we really have a high amount of respect and admiration for the trades, which I will say was one of the positive aspects of the pandemic, that people really gained an understanding of our people in the trades and service industries.
Yeah.
And so, the enrollment says it all at Taconic. But certainly, another point of success and celebration in our city that, I don't think gets enough recognition, as we often focus on what needs to be done and
Right.
not what we've accomplished.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, and that you've come down the road so far. And I think I have to take just a moment going back to Dr. Eberwein and Dr. McCandless and you, because you're a part of it. You raised the vision. You raised the vision of the trades to be on an equal plane with the college graduate.
Yeah. And and then even had to evolve that vision to ensure that every student that wanted to be part of a Chapter 74 program in the city of Pittsfield could do so.
Yeah.
And we had to evolve Taconic High School from a comprehensive high school to an all CTE high school. And that took a lot of effort and vision to do so. And so now we have opportunities for any student who wants to enter the trades to have a seat at the table, which was not the case just a short couple of years ago.
That's right.
So, we just had a visit from an accreditation group at Taconic High School, and they were really impressed that we shifted the vision of Taconic High School from a comprehensive high school
Sure.
to an all CTE school, and that we took action to make that happen so every student in the city of Pittsfield that wanted that opportunity could have it.
Again, I think so many people, and I don't know what's behind it, want to focus on the negative rather than what needs to be done, but rather than sit back and say, look at what's been accomplished. Look at what we have done. This is our pathway is a big word today. This is our pathway to making these other changes. And I'm an old man, but I've seen a lot. I've done a lot. I've been a lot of places. And what I see happening in my view, from my view, is that the We're in a fundamental sociological change. GE tearing down GE or GE closing, tearing down the old building, blah, 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 isn't just a change. It's an adaptation to an entire way of life.
Yeah,
And,
very much so.
GE was a big employer. You graduated from machine shop, you went to work in a GE. You went to work at Beloit. I also we're gonna Joe, if you take a minute before the break, because when I come back, I really want to get into the what you guys are doing to I guess retool is the only word I can come up with after talking machine shop. This brain isn't as big as it used to be either. what you're doing to restructure the school system. Because
Yes.
I think that's crucially important.
It is very, very much so.
But the other piece I think was wonderful, is wonderful, is the total community involvement. You're not doing this in a vacuum and then going to announce it. You've got
Right.
community input. So I guess I don't know what more you, the school department, the poor school committee, I applaud you all for your patience, your tenacity in a way, and behind the scenes what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, we are trying to make every attempt, and I know we'll talk in detail after the break, including everyone as a stakeholder in our decision-making process. And, you know, it is up to any member of the community to avail themselves and be part of that process. And for some, it's okay, we're receiving the information. We approve with the direction, and we don't feel compelled to go to an outreach meeting or anything like that. And then for those that want to be involved, we're trying to give as many different ways to do so. But, you know, as we see in our society, and this is not unique to our city, we have those that don't get involved and then put something on social media in reaction to a decision that's made. So, you know, we're very transparent. All of the steps in our middle school and city restructuring are available in a variety of different ways. You know, I just was on with Sean Sayre talking about our middle school restructuring. Every school committee meeting, there's an update provided. And we have a large committee right now that's working on a recommendation. So, of parents, of staff members, of educators, and they will be providing recommendations directly to the school committee. So, yeah, it's very important, you know, that no one believes, even though some may, that we're just making a decision in isolation. We've been, and I would assume even, you know, in relation to the recent switch of trash toters, which has been comprehensive. You cannot look at a social media page or PCTV and not find information or websites. But I would assume some say they weren't involved or didn't know. And you know, that's just our reality.
I think too, Joe, some people don't look. They go to the coffee shop or the adult beverage place and they're sitting and the guy says, the guy that's how you're supposed to do that. And they don't buy, and you're right. I don't think you can criticize the city of Pittsfield, the mayor, the city council, Morales, Mr. Morales, anybody, for not getting enough information out about, unless you've lived in a cave or you just don't want to know. But I think that's the nature of today's beast. Some people watch one TV station because they hate the others, or I want to make that point before we go to break, and that
I
is,
think it's,
go
go
ahead.
ahead.
No, and
I
that
think
is,
it's,
the school department has opened the door to come in.
without question. And I think it's so important, you know, in leadership, particularly now more than ever, that we certainly view, hear, you know, concerns. But we continue to stay the course, knowing that there's a number of opportunities, endless opportunities, and there will be upcoming with the middle school restructuring to be involved. And, you know, it's so easy to react to, you know, a one-off email or comment on Facebook. But, you know, to lead, when or react suddenly when you see something, is will not provide us with a stable course of action.
No, and it's in many cases it's an unfair criticism. I see a lot of things that I know because I try being an old cop. I try to deal with facts. You know, it's weird things, but I see things that somebody pulled out of the sky. There's no basis to it. It's not just the school department. It's trash collection. It's the mayor. It's a tough world. Hey, we're gonna take about a 1 minute break. Please stay tuned. I am really privileged to have with me today Superintendent of Schools Joe Curtis, and I gave him hours of counseling, and he still took the job. But he's we are in a world of transition, sociologically, politically, all these things. And I know a lot of us love to hold on to the flagpole of, well, when I was in school, well, yeah, but when I was in school, they still were had horse-drawn carts. One last thing. All I'm asking, this is my flag. I have friends buried under it. I have acquaintances buried under it. And a lot of people at some point in life, even the ones in the cemetery, signed on the dotted line, they'd give their life for this flag. You don't have to agree with everything. I don't care. The one thing I do, I plead with you, don't desecrate it. It meant so much to so many. And what do you get out of desecrating the American flag? We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio, the simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Whoa, like what exactly is happening here?
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Tim's Lawn Care. It's almost time for fall cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care also could take care of your landscaping and fall lawn care needs. Also, ask about commercial and residential snow plowing for the winter. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222, and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass. Now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back,
WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. We really are. This is Joe Curtis. He is Mr. Joe Curtis, Superintendent Joe Curtis. He is the superintendent of Pittsfield Schools. And we're talking about the Pittsfield School Department, the school system, restructuring attendance, preparing your kiddo to go to school to learn. And I say this is me, and to be respectful, respect is a learned trait. So if you sit at home and say bah, 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 and the kid hears it, it's learned. So yeah. Joe, you're doing some restructuring of the system. That's but you've involved the community. That is so magnificent.
Yeah, we had, last year when we started the restructuring study, we had 13 community outreach events where we really talked about the premise of what we were trying to accomplish and then solicited, community feedback, not only during the session, but in a post-session survey. We also had a survey for staff, students, and community members. And it's led us to the point of this year of kind of accelerating the middle grades restructuring. So, the community, the school committee directed my office to accelerate the process for our middle grades. So I went into quick action and formed a large middle school, middle grade restructuring committee. So we have about 30 staff members.
Wow.
Elected officials, we have parents, About half of the group is parents. And we're working very diligently right now. In fact, we just had a meeting on Monday where we're finishing our surveying and focus group work. But the anticipation is that the middle school restructuring committee will make a full recommendation of grade spans and educational programming in January and February of 2025. So it can be enacted for next school year. So a very intense timeline of taking action. But, you know, our structure of our city school system has been intact for well over five decades.
Wow.
Really, the last change we had was when Crosby Junior High School became an elementary school, which was well before my time. And so it's time for change. We know that there are things that are not working. We know that there are things that are working very well. And so we're working hard to make sure that we have a comprehensive proposal. And, you know, very, very appreciative of the School Building Needs Commission, the school committee, and our city council for authorizing me to submit a statement of interest to have a new elementary school on the west side. So we're waiting to hear if that will be fully accepted into the pipeline, and hopefully we will hear in December.
That and again, is someone whose wife worked when it was Westside Community School. And as someone who had that cruiser on the midnight shift from the police department, I can remember those days, Donald Taylor and, I can't think of his name. Well, anyhow, the principal at the time, I can't remember. But he, those schools are dated.
Yeah. You know, they were... In its time, you know, Conte Community School and Morningside, they were actually a true investment from the city in those two neighborhoods. They were, I would argue, remarkable facilities that the city invested in at that time. And you know, that was 50 years ago. But they should be applauded, the city leaders at that time, because they did make that investment. But, you know,
and they were cutting edge, not to interrupt you. And they were cutting edge for education. Yeah,
they were. And they were built with every motivation that they involved the community. They were community schools and had, you know, branches of the local library in them. And they had medical and dental offices in them. And they actually had vocational opportunities in them. They had a wood and machine shop and home economics. But nevertheless, you know, 50 years later, it's not serving the two communities like we should.
Right.
And I applaud the city for being open to making a new investment in the West Side that will serve the students of the West Side and beyond, because our, you know, we're looking to change our attendance school districts well past when you and I are here. So
yeah,
it's very challenging work, you know, and hopefully we'll be accepted into the MSBA pipeline and we can begin the process of building a new school for our children.
And I think it's at this stage with all the retooling and the societal changes people don't want to. I see so many people when you talk about the schools, they want to just focus on the schools, but the schools are part of a bigger societal restructuring.
Yeah, I agree. You know, for when I was the principal of Morningside. Really served as a center, a consistent presence in the Morningside neighborhood.
Amen.
Morningside residents use that building each and every evening for community meetings and involvement, sporting events. And, you know, the children use the backfield for recreation. And so I agree with you completely. I think that, you know, when we talk about community, the school can often be seen as a beacon of light. And I know when I was a teacher and the community coordinator at Conte in the West Side, that building was highly regarded as a central focal point
yeah.
for that side of the city, and used extensively in the evening. And so we have to be incredibly mindful that schools, you know, and investing in schools, not only the school's performance, but its physical plant can actually raise property values, attract people to the city. And right now, you know, despite the heroes level efforts of the Crosby Elementary staff and the Conte community staff, they need a new school facility. These are facilities that are 50 to 60 to 70 years old. And it's time, you know, without question.
And I think, again, I don't want to beat this horse to death, but when those schools were built, they were built with a certain new focus on open classrooms and all. In those days, the nation education has evolved. And I want to say, and the principal at the time was Frank Kelly.
Yes, Frank.
Sorry, Frank. It's, you know, a mind is a terrible thing to lose. And if you find mine, drop it off at the house. It's time. You're right, Joe. It's time. It's just as it was time to convert Taconic to an all trade. I just think, you know, for the people who are quick to criticize, the old saying, walk a mile in my shoes. And I think they should do that. Walk a mile in a teacher's shoes as a principal, as a guidance counselor, as a superintendent. Maybe be more sympathetic.
I agree. And I think, you know, one of the realities that our city has, and they'll have it long past my time as superintendent, is that, you know, regular and substantial investments in school buildings is part of a school's success. And people... depending who you talk to, people believe that or do not. But you know, when a school principal is spending, you know, 10, 20, 30% of their week managing the physical plant, that's a problem. They don't have expertise in physical plant management. They don't have passion. They didn't get into that role to do so. And, you know, I spent an inordinate amount of time when I was the principal at Morningside trying to improve the facility, working with the city to do so, dealing with its inadequacies. And, you know, we will have to continue to invest. And certainly Pittsfield High School is right behind in the line of a new building project. We have to continue to invest, but it is very expensive. There was just a high school built in the eastern part of the state that cost over $350 million, which pales in comparison to our recent investment at Taconic. And, you know, how do we sustain all of this? That's going to be a question someone else will have to deal with. In city leadership and state leadership, but it's very important. You know, it's not just about a shiny new building. It's about having the facilities that are needed in education now that were not needed when Mercer Elementary School was built. It just, they weren't needed and they weren't thought of, and now they are.
And again, they, I think, it's easy to say, but difficult to do, is to put a plan in place that every half a decade, say, you do a reassessment of that. But reassessment of everything, of the facilities, of what we're doing, what we're spending, what needs. preventative maintenance. Let's replace the boiler before it blows up in February.
Yeah.
I have to say this. Thinking back on the old Taconic, things beyond the maintenance department, the people who work there, the wonderful people who work there, beyond certainly their control. But that school was always clean. The new Taconic is spotless.
Yes.
And we need to reach out to those people in the maintenance department and thank them for what they do. Half of these buildings, I would make half of these buildings would be condemned if it wasn't for the maintenance department the school has had and the city.
You know, in Crosby Elementary School is a great example. When you walk into Crosby, and I challenge anybody to do so, you will see spotless floors, walls. Despite the age of the building, it has been maintained in the best way possible, right? But you do come to a point where, despite constant maintenance, upkeep,
clean, under control,
it's just, you just can't sustain it anymore, right? The structural problems are just too overwhelming. And I think, you know, like the boilers, for instance, like we had to, in the city, and a huge thank you to them, they had to replace the boiler at Crosby. And some might say, well, why are you doing that? You know, you might tear it down in 5 years. Well, you had to. We have to have heat for the next 5 years, right?
Yeah.
We can't. You know, despite really Herculean efforts on the city's partnership and our local custodians, there comes a point where you just can't fix it anymore. You know, and I think, you know, with the Pittsfield High School boiler project and the complexity of that project, and a huge thanks to Brian Filio and everyone involved. I mean, it is massive. You know, when we think of our houses and we just go and turn the thermostat up, or if it's a boiler replacement, it's done in a couple of days. The efforts are massive. You know, we had to remove 3 locomotives from that school.
Wow.
Before locomotives from the early 1900s. Before the project could even be undertaken. So, you know, lots of effort, but, you know, everyone has to come to the conclusion in city and school leadership, again, well past my time, that a continual investment in replacing our school buildings is a necessity.
Well, I even think the mayor, if memory serves me correctly, even the mayor has said we can't keep delaying, you know, preventative maintenance, certain maintenance, schedule maintenance, or it's going to just cost more.
We
don't save a darn dime.
No. The problems, you know, it's just like when I was young and I'd have a problem with a 86 Cutlass Supreme, I think. And, you know, something would go wrong and I'm like, well, I'll wait till next week to fix it. That never worked, ever. Right. It only costs more. And that's where we're at. Like, we've done a lot of delay in maintenance and upkeep. And as you know, with rising costs that are happening every single day, right, the cost is never going to be less or less complex by waiting a year. Never.
No. And the other part, it brings back memory, the quarter at the old Taconic, where it was like a slalom course for skiing with the buckets to get the water dripping through the ceiling because basically the roof was gone.
Yeah.
Now, you can't blame local maintenance, school maintenance personnel for that. That's a big job. And you're right, postponing only adds cost.
Oh, every time. It never reduces costs, and unfortunately. You know, so I think, you know, when we worked hard in developing a master plan for our schools that will you know, last long into the future, and trying to make every best attempt between the superintendent at that time and the mayor, and making sure that master plan moves forward, will be incredibly important for our city. Because even our school buildings that were remodeled in the late 90s, that was, we're approaching over 30 years ago. You know, so that, and they were remodeled based on the needs of the school of education at that time. That was three decades. And so, you know, we have even remodeled schools that are exceeding their life, if you will.
Yeah. And as we, I think as a community, we don't do enough to boast about our schools and our graduates. And I mean, we have an astronaut, we have several doctors and lawyers and professors and all kinds of people. And the other part, and I always like to drive this home, Mr. Curtis, is this. We are truly an urban school district.
Yes.
We're not a little town district or not a little. We are an urban city district. And kids show up at that. I had the good fortune, and I mean this. I had the good fortune of being at the old Taconic. And I had the good fortune of seeing this generation students. And I have to share this story. And I used to walk down the old glass corridor to the studio. And there were these two young ladies. One stood on this side, the left, and one stood on the right. And they were texting. And finally, at the end of the school year, and the building was going to be demolished, I said to them, can I just ask you a question? And they said, sure. I said, who are you testing every morning? Her. Who? Her. Why don't you talk to her? She's right across the hall. But it, again, that was my introduction into this group.
Yeah.
And you know, Mr. Curtis, again, going back to some of the people that you have on your team, I don't think we'd find better people anywhere in the world, in the country, for sure.
Mr.
Principal at PHS, her name flew out. But they're just good people. They're dedicated.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it takes, you know, loyalty and dedication is a rarity in the workforce today.
Oh, yeah.
Workforce across all fields. And, you know, we have a very committed central office team. And, you know, a central office team is incredibly important, you know, in driving not only support, but improvement. You know, and it's so different. You know, I often drive past our original one-room schoolhouse in Pittsfield, where I assume the teacher, you know, had a room full of children and operated the school pretty much however he or she felt they should. But it's very different now. And, you know, our principals and our vice principals, our deans, our teachers, support staff, everyone does a hero's level of work each and every day in very sometimes challenging circumstances. So I think we always have to presume positive intentions.
Absolutely.
Our world does not do that enough now. No. We're always looking for something that someone's doing wrong or maybe not up to the expectation that person holds. But presuming positive intentions gives people hope to do better, too.
And I really do want to emphasize the point before we go of there's going to be changes. But they're not haphazard changes. I've said this 100 times on air. What I've admired since going back to, that I can remember, Dr. Eberwein, Dr. McCandless, Mr. Curtis, is this. They don't do anything lickety-split or half-hearted. They study it. They present to the school. And I would suggest on every other Wednesday night, I think it's what, the second Wednesday and the second and fourth.
Yes.
You tune in to channel 1302 and watch the school committee in action. And you will see what I'm saying. If they present something, they have studied it. They have the research behind it. It isn't just, oh, I had a great idea. I have a lot of great ideas, like a lot of them going probably to get soft serve ice cream. But I don't think Mr. Curtis cares about that one. But what I'm saying is, it's easy to criticize. It really is. But until you have to do it. And my last thing, and then I'll let you do your closing arguments, Joe. Everybody wants less taxes. I do. My wife and I, we used to be on a fixed income. Now we're on a shrinking income.
Yeah, I know.
Do we have to tighten our belt? Absolutely. But my father, God rest his soul, said two things you can do as a parent. One is to be a role model. And the second is to ensure that your children get the best education they can. And I would say, thinking back on my time at PHS, and that's when the boilers did work pretty regularly, but they were coal. I've had a pretty great life. I've had a pretty great life from the education I got at PHS. And I would say again to Mr. Curtis, to the central office staff, to the teachers, the custodians, the cooks, the bus drivers, anybody that has anything to do with the education of our children, thank you. Thank you for everything you do every day. And as far as taxes, what are you going to do? Pay me later is what Carmen Massimino used to say.
Yeah, I really appreciate your words. And, you know, I think what often gets lost in budget time is that this superintendent is a taxpayer, and I have been a taxpayer for almost 30 years in the city of Pittsfield. And I have seen my taxes go up.
Yep.
And have I had questions as a taxpayer about how my taxes are being spent? Sure. But I've also trusted and respected our city leadership in making the right decisions as well. And so, you know, I want to assure everyone that our budget process is transparent. It goes on for close to 6 months. And every decision we make, we are well aware of the impact that it might have on the city taxpayers. So, you know, with that, I invite anyone during the process to come and speak, to be informed, to look at the impact of our budget proposals on the tax rate, which, you know, over the last 5 years, because we have Chapter 70 funding, has been less impactful than what people believe. And I'll leave it there. But thank you so much.
No, thank you, Mr. Curtis. I appreciate you taking the time. I know how busy you are. People get emails from Mr. Curtis at very late at night and very early in the morning, and they're not AI. Curtis.
They're definitely not AI. The complexity of the emails I receive, if I just had a AI generator responding, it could get everyone into trouble too.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, and please thank Rose for always being there for the old fat ball guy. That's me, not you. God bless everybody. I know some of you don't like that, but I believe in it. I wore the uniform, so I'm going to say it, freedom of speech. Everybody's waved that banner. So God bless. And today, help somebody lift their burden. Make somebody laugh. Give them a call. We're all in this together. So let us all try to help each other rather than put each other down. I'm sorry some of the rhetoric we're all hearing. It's, to me, it's disgusting, but I'm only one person. I'm always here for you, Mr. Curtis. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.